Welcome back to Mumblecore, our attempt at a movie podcast. And I'm Megan.
And I'm Charlotte. I also have what the critics are calling COVID-19 right now. So I'm like a
You do not have COVID again.
Bedroom. Oh, yes, I have COVID.
No! I was going to ask you. I was like, New York is a true mess. You have COVID again?
Yeah, I'm already better. It was fine. It was like 3 days. But you have to quarantine for 10. So I'm in my room.
Charlotte.
I'm literally like...
Wait, okay. When did you get COVID?
I got COVID last weekend. Wait. What day is it? Tuesday? Not this. I had COVID this weekend. But the weekend before that, I
went to my friend's
boyfriend's show, and two of the people we hung out with tested positive on Tuesday.
Cute.
And then
cute. And you're like, New York, baby.
To get tested on Tuesday. Tested negative on the rapid, and then the PCR was positive.
Oh, so you, like, definitely have Omicron. Or Omicron? What's Omicron?
I guess. But then I was also just, like, sick. Like, I was just ill. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to go to work.
So then I called out on Thursday. Because you tested positive for COVID-19.
But I didn't. I hadn't tested positive yet. I had tested negative twice on rapid tests.
Oh, okay.
But I emailed my boss on Wednesday and was like, I'm feeling sick, so I'm not going to come to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I woke up on Thursday and they were like, your PCR is positive. And I was like, well, that checks out because I have COVID. When they make you fill out this little like sheet at the place that I got tested, and it was just sort of like your name, like what tests you want, like rapid or PCR, and like your reason for testing, and it was like exposure, and then it was like, do you have any symptoms? And I was like, yes, all of them.
Wait, Charlotte, like, you're the only person I know that's gotten COVID twice. So wait, you have
no, I'm not the only person you know.
Yeah, the person that I know personally.
Oh my god, my mom sent me an article that was like, if you get breakthrough COVID, like after having your two vaccine shots, like you're 1,000 times more antibody protected.
Okay, well then you have all the antibodies because you initially had COVID, and then you have
got vaccinated.
Did you get your booster before this?
I had a booster appointment on Wednesday, and I was too sick to go.
And now you can't get it for like 2 months.
I know, which is fine because I literally had a different version of the booster, which is COVID. It's the same thing.
No. Did you lose your taste and smell again or no?
No.
Okay. Your body's like same shit, different day.
I've heard Omicron was like not a taste and smell sitch. Definitely not as much like horrible body fatigue. More just like, oh, I have a cold. Which is why
God.
And I had two negative rapids, which is why I literally think anybody in New York who has a cold that is like, but it's not COVID. I'm like,
it is.
But it is.
It is COVID.
But it literally is.
I've literally been hearing anyone who's like in New York, because like we have people like working in different, like in New York and in London and stuff. And the thing is, like, if someone is sick in New York, they have COVID. Like, just assume that 80% of the New York population has COVID because it's the reality.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's weird though. Like, people I know who are like, I've been exposed so many times, they're just like not getting sick. And like, technically, if you've been vaccinated and you are exposed, but you don't develop symptoms, like, you're good.
Yeah, like, but you are not good. You actually...
I was sick, yes, but, like, I'm better now. But I'm inside until Friday.
Oh, my God. Wait, does that mean that your entire apartment has to quarantine?
They didn't.
Maybe? They didn't. Oh, no.
Like,
she has her bathroom, her little toilet room. Literally. She's fine. We're not exposed.
The CDC is basically, like, stay to yourself as much as possible. Everybody wear a mask in the common space. Keep getting tested.
Great. I really feel like this is a flashback to a year ago. Or is it 2 years ago that this happened? I don't know.
It was a year ago. It was Thanksgiving last year. It's Christmas this year. Very fun.
Oh, cute. Like, it's the holidays.
It's unclear if I'm missing Christmas. Like, with my parents, because, like, technically, like, as of the 25th, I'm, like, cleared.
Yeah.
But it seems, like, a little risky to really, like, play that sort of bumper cars game with COVID and your parents. Like,
wow. The world is really against you.
Also, I had Hamilton tickets on the 26th.
No!
They canceled Hamilton.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, oh, I can't relate to getting COVID, but I can relate to COVID canceling Hamilton tickets because that did happen to me last time around. So we're really swapping experiences. Hopefully I do not swap in terms of getting COVID.
Getting the Omicron.
Yeah. But yeah, that's devastating. It was on Broadway, obviously.
Yes, but my dad has already like changed the date to March. And I'm like, are they sure it's going to happen in March? I don't know.
I'm just assuming the world's ending again. That's where my head's at. Like, I have spiraled into it's over. It's done.
Yeah, so I just got... I don't participate in convenience culture. But I just got Instacart delivered because I literally can't go anywhere, so... And she was, like, coming up the stairs, and I heard her, because I was on the other side of the door, and I heard her go, like, you do this every day? She was there. I was like, oh, no, I'm an asshole.
No, you have COVID, so.
Yeah. So I got some groceries, and then immediately, like, looked at them and was like, okay, actually, none of this is a meal. Like, none of this is edible in a way that makes any sense.
That's why you should just, like, DoorDash or Grubhub. When you have COVID.
Yeah.
Or any illness. Just be like, I need a full meal delivered, already prepared.
And then you spend less time in the kitchen, which is what I'm trying to do.
But then you spend an exorbitant amount of money. But I pay it every time.
Yeah.
Literally, like, I'll be at the store. I'm like, that's ridiculously expensive. And then I'm like, $10 in fees for DoorDash? Hell yeah, I'll do that. That's a steal.
Oh my God, you have to pay that much. In just, like, not even for the food, just, like, fees to get it there.
Oh, that's... Have you not used DoorDash? Oh, you don't take part in convenience culture.
Also, my DoorDash has been hacked. Like, I had to take my debit card number off of it because they were, like, somebody in, like, Chattanooga, Tennessee kept, like, adding things to a cart. And I was like, no.
Oh, shit. Okay,
and I would, like, get an email that is, like, your DoorDash order is being prepared or something. And I'd be like, what the fuck? And then I'd check and it was, like, I was like, cancel order. And then I had to, like, delete my debit card information.
Oh, shit.
So I can't DoorDash.
Okay. Well, when you DoorDash, essentially, like, you pay for the food, which is already, like, marked up. And then they're like, delivery is actually free. And then they have below it, so in, like, service, like, and fee. And then it's, like, fucking $10 or some bullshit. And then they're like, you should tip your driver. And you're like, oh, fuck. And you're like, I should tip my driver.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then you're like, oh, I'm getting $20 worth of food for $40. But then the will to put on pants and go outside just takes over. And you're like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, the places that I would order food from. I feel like I did order Grubhub, right? Mm-hmm. A slice of chocolate cake about 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago. And that came from, like, Park Slope. I don't know how people get... Anyway, the point is that a lot of people are on bikes in New York City to deliver food, and I also have a bike. So, like, any food that they would... that I would be in the radius for them to deliver, I'm basically like, oh, I'll just go get it myself. Because...
But you have to do it yourself.
Yeah. That's usually fine with me.
Except when you have COVID.
So when you have COVID. So, yeah, for lunch, I literally ate a plain potato with... refried beans. That was it. That was the food.
But you're gonna look so skinny after this.
You know I'm already like, okay.
No, just a little bit.
Yeah, it is crazy because, like, part of me is like, I'm not moving at all. Like, I'm not even, my room is very small and I stay within it all day. So I'm like, okay, effectively I'm burning 400 calories a day. Across all body functions.
Perfect. So,
the fact that I eat any more than that means that I'm getting fatter. Fuck.
Oh, no. Well, sounds like not a good time
there. What else did I do recently? Literally nothing. Although nothing.
You've been quarantining.
Well, yeah, but, like, did I do anything exciting? Every day there's a little bit of chocolate in my advent calendar. Big win.
Nice. I'm just waiting. I was felt slightly off today, and I was like, today's the day.
It takes just, like, the day that I theoretically tested positive, like, had COVID, I had, like, a scratchy throat. I was like, it's probably nothing, but, like, we'll see.
It's COVID. Oh, God.
Anyway, today was, like, much more seriously, like, what if I bought a car and then lived in it for like 6 months? But like not just thinking about the time.
Literally last week you were going to Dublin, right?
I'm just sort of like, here's the thing. Thinking about the timeline. And
our timeline's over. We fucked it up. Okay. It's too late. We can't get back on track. It's our most original
conversation that we need to stop having. But I will say one important part of the timeline is the fact that my parents' insurance expires for me when I'm 26.
Yep.
So it is like, if I'm going to do something that keeps me from having a stable job,
okay.
I might as well do it.
I thought you were going to say that would possibly get me injured and in the hospital.
No. But if I'm making a lifestyle choice, it's like, maybe I want to steady work for a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the time.
You're like,
the time
I got it
now and not later.
Yeah, I got to do it. Yeah. The one part of the timeline that is actually real is that you've run out of your parents' health insurance. That's the issue.
Yes, this fake timeline that stresses us out anyway actually does have real parts to it.
Yeah. God.
So yeah, I'm like, maybe I'll buy a car and just sort of like, not even like try to be a car camper, but just sort of like try to go places that I want to go to and see people that I want to see. Like, I could drive to you in California. Like,
you should do that. That would be great.
I'm like, there's literally no one else. Like, I thought about it for 1 second. I was like, I could drive to you. That's it. That's the extent of the friends.
I have one friend.
I mean, I have one friend who lives not near me.
Yeah.
I feel like if I were to be like, I am spending a period of time on the road, like I could enlist people to like spend 2 week periods with me.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like I could be like, okay, yeah, like I'll come and swing by your area and like then we'll camp or whatever for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. That sounds whimsical, magical.
Yeah, really.
Main character shit for you.
Yeah, and then of course it all turns into a book a la Cheryl Strayed's Wild. Of course, this all turns into a book deal.
Yeah. That's really the plan, is live my life, book deal, money and fame. Mainly money.
Good call.
That's my plan.
That's my new timeline. Everything else out of here.
The timeline's fucked. It's just fucked, and I can't even wrap my head around, like, I need to take a vacation. I need to find a week to take a vacation.
I thought you had to do it by the end of the year.
Yep. It didn't happen.
You failed, yeah.
So, I failed.
I went to the kitchen today and, like, left my door open and the cat went in my room and, like, went under my bed. And I, like, came back and I was like, you have to get out of here. This is not safe. This is not for you.
Oh, yeah, because cats can get COVID.
This is the COVID room. Get out of here. But he, like, wouldn't move. He was, like, staying under, and I was like, mister.
I will say, you know, the last time we recorded, you're like, oh, my God, did you hear the cat is moving so fast? I heard nothing. I listened back on the recording that you sent.
It's loud, right?
Incredible. I was like, oh, my God, the cat was going so fast.
Yeah.
Wait, so are you friends with that cat, or?
I try to be. He's very, like, I'll sort of, like, look at you and be like, I'm interested. And then you'll look at him and I'm like, just kidding, I'm not interested. And then you're like, okay, fine, I'll walk away. And then he'll follow you because he's interested. Mm-hmm. And then you, like, look back or you're like, hey, come in. And he's like, no. And he walks away.
But he was intrigued by the COVID aroma coming from your room.
He probably was like, usually I can go in this room, like, once a day. And I haven't been in this room in, like, a week. What's up with that?
Yeah. God. We watched Home Alone.
Yeah, and dare I say it's like a Chekhov's gun situation. Like, if you see a tarantula in the first act, like, it's gonna get released. Like, there's no way they're not gonna use that.
I do not have thought that we're gonna have a Chekhov gun situation in Home Alone, but here we are.
Yeah, it's like, we're not stupid. There's no reason the brother would just have a tarantula.
That and the creepy neighbor. You're like, you know this old man is actually have a heart of gold and going to save the day.
Incredible Snape vibes. I was like, oh, this is so clearly Snape. Where, like, everyone's afraid of him.
Were you attracted to him?
Yes. No. Everyone's afraid of him. Everyone sort of thinks he's sinister. And he's always lurking. And then at the end, he sort of is like, I'm here to save you.
Yeah.
Snape vibes. Loved the church scene where it was like, had you seen this before?
No, I had not seen this before. This was really, like, a missing hole in my cultural knowledge, my Christmas cultural knowledge.
This is fun, because for a Christmas movie to be, like, zany like this, reminiscent of The Ref, which is sort of exactly the same. Not exactly the same movie.
Reminiscent of The Ref?
The Ref is a Christmas movie.
I don't think I've ever seen The Ref.
Here's the thing. The Ref has Kevin Spacey in it. I still think it's a really good movie.
Ooh.
And
Kevin Spacey's in some of my favorite movies of all time, and they can't be anymore.
Here's the thing. Somebody tweeted today and was like, what's the movie that, like, if it came out today, would have the most annoying Twitter discourse? And somebody was like, American Beauty, and I was like, that's so accurate. Because, like, yeah, it's ultimately just a good movie and interesting, but there's just so much that people would shit on it for these days. But that sort of critique is outdated. Just, like, nobody's commenting about the Alana Haim, Cooper Hoffman age gap anymore.
Oh my god. Again, TikTok has been messed up on its algorithm for me, but it does listen to me. So it did show me a woman ranting about how terrible licorice pizza was. And I was like, oh, this is Charlotte.
Here's the thing. Okay.
And they talk about that age gap, which I knew nothing about that movie. Fucking creepy.
Here's the thing. They also talk about the racial humor in it that is racist.
Yes. Do you know which TikTok I'm talking about?
Probably.
Did it also hit your algorithm too? And
the thing that's different about our algorithms is that mine, I only got that as a stitch where somebody was just like, shut the fuck up. Like, somebody was just like, stop saying. It's almost like outdated to have those sort of like complaints where you're like, this is bad and it's canceled. And it's like, okay, can we just talk about the movie?
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think the movie's racist, and I don't think the age gap is a problem. I think it's just dumb and, like, doesn't add anything away.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with
that. Do you think that it's valid to criticize those aspects of a movie? Because you're like, the TikTok that I saw was they're like, oh, it's like the 70s, it's supposed to be racist. But she's like, we have the clothes, we have the scenery. Do we need the racism to prove that it's the 70s? And I'm like, that's very true. Like, what's the point?
The obvious point of the stuff that happens in Licorice Pizza is that the guy is, it's like a white dude who just like keeps marrying Japanese women and like pretending he speaks Japanese. And it's dumb and like everybody can see through his dumbness. But the point is that it's not funny, that it adds nothing to the movie and it's useless. It's like a just useless bit. So I'm not like mad that it's racist. I'm mad that it's fucking boring and like just shouldn't have been written.
I feel like you should be mad that it's both racist and boring.
And that's valid. That is valid. But like, in my
opinion, I've not seen this movie, so I really can't speak to what we're actually talking about.
But I feel like for me, it's like, and maybe I'm wrong, but for me, it's like the first layer is like, is the art good? Like, is it worth watching? Does it tell you anything? Like, are the specific parts and gags of it meaningful and like doing anything? And if the answer to that is no, you don't have to ask any further questions about like, is it a problem? It's just like, okay, the movie's stupid, don't watch it.
I'm also confused on that movie. I did not realize that kid is supposed to be 15.
Yes. He is 17 to 18, the actor. I looked it up.
Interesting. Again, I have not seen this movie, so I don't know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. The argument that I've seen on Twitter is that it's like a roadblock to discussing the movie when everybody's just like, here are the problematic elements about it. And it's like, okay, you're not talking about anything. You're just sort of saying
I feel like it's for older movies. I can see more of the argument about being like, how, you know, it's a product of its time and you have to discuss the art in conjunction with that. But I feel like with newer movies, you're like, did we need it? You know?
Yeah, like, I wonder what Paul would say about it. Like, if somebody's just like, what was the point of including this character who, like, owns a Japanese restaurant? But also, I would ask the question, Paul, what was the point of including any of this? Like, I get, and then he has this, like, Sean Penn is this, like, seedy movie director who, like, auditions Alana and then, of course, like, tries to, like, bring her to a bar and, like, in theory, hook up with her. And so it's like poking fun at that sort of 70s thing of like dudes being creepy. And it's like, I guess, what's the point though? Anyway.
Interesting.
But you can't argue with...
How did we get onto this from Home Alone?
Oh,
I don't even
remember
where
this
started.
Certain movies being like unwatchable because of certain reasons.
Yes.
And then American Beauty. And then I was like, you know what? Other people are canceling Licorice Pizza.
You know what? We're back.
A seminal Christmas movie that I can't believe I missed out on. It's fun. It's just like it was zany. Fun. Like when Christmas movies are so much focused on like the niceness of Christmas. And like
I will say this is feels like one of those movies. I enjoyed it, but I feel like I have missed the magic of watching it as a child.
Yeah. You need to watch it. It can't hold like the
same nostalgia. So that's disappointing. So shame on my parents. Depriving me of this Christmas movie. I also have realized I was not a Christmas movie child. Like, okay. Didn't watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm,
didn't do Home Alone. Like, saw Elf once.
Oh,
the only movie that I have watched on repeat was Nightmare Before Christmas for both Halloween and Christmas. Yes.
I've never liked that movie. It's not bad, but it just sort of like doesn't loved hit it. For me. I loved the original Absolutely Grinch, like 1960s it. Grinch.
I don't know if I've seen the original Grinch.
It's like a full length. It's maybe like 70 minutes or something.
The only Grinch that I have like memory of is the Jim Carrey one, right?
Is that live action?
Yes. And it's weird as fuck.
I think I know that one. Yeah.
There's a lot happening. There's a lot
of Grinch movies. They're not that good.
People love the Grinch.
Yeah. The Grinch is like a very classic. I have literally Grinch mug right here. Is this the Grinch?
Oh.
This is Max. Yeah,
that's his. Yes. I was like,
there's no Grinch on it. It's only Max.
Oh, it's just Max.
This is my like mug for the week. I just like
nice.
Keep it in my room and then bring it to the kitchen and refill it with something and then bring it back to my room.
Your COVID mug.
I don't interact with any of the dishware.
Yeah.
Space.
Mm.
Okay.
But yeah, so I feel like it has missed a little bit of the magic for me.
Yes, I would agree. It was not. I did cry, like tear up several times.
I did cry.
I do think that's because I'm in a personal bad place.
Yeah. Oh, it depends on how I am emotionally, which I'm surprised because I'm doing. Terrible.
Doing the worst
mentally, emotionally, physically, awful. Everything is bad. So I feel like I should have cried watching this. Did not. Had lots of questions, though.
Okay, my big first question. Is like, these are small-time robbers. Like, these, they are not casing the Bellagio for Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Like, they are.
Why do they have a signature?
That, I guess, but also just, like, if you are a small-time cat burglar, and you go to a house, and there is any sort of obstacle to getting into that house, you just go to the next one. You just say, okay, someone is home with that house. Goodbye.
That is my biggest problem with this movie. Again, this is happens every time I watch a movie that I clearly should have watched as a child, now watch as an adult.
Yes.
Why? Why do they want this house?
Like, I get that it has riches, but, like,
it is an insane house. I can talk about the house for long time.
But there must be there's other a dumb waiter.
That's how you know.
That have decently nice things in them. And like you could have in the time that you spend like casing this house and like figuring out that like Kevin is home, you could have hit like five other houses and gotten like comparable things.
Yes. I'm like, why is it only this street? Why is this the one street? Everyone fucks off for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a single person is around,
mm-hmm.
which is truly shocking. Except for the neighbor who lives by himself, like, in a mansion. That's odd. But,
yeah, and at no point, like, because they call all of the neighbors. And maybe they don't call him because he has a bad rap. But, like, at some point, like, you would think... Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, but you have to remember that Kevin believes that his family is gone. Like, he's not like, oh shit, if only I could call my mom. Like, he truly is okay. Like, my family is gone.
Here's okay. We'll get back to the other questions of why they didn't go into a different house, because that's really many questions about the ending. But that's my main question with this movie. Is magic involved?
No.
Interesting. Because...
Here I am going to prove you wrong.
I think there is a Christmas magic element to it. It's just more grounded than most Christmas movies. And I will say that because of the montage of when he says, I wish my family would go away or whatever. of things rustling in the wind, mm-hmm. because that is a telltale sign of magic if I've ever seen one.
Yes, when they cut to like a howling wind.
Mm-hmm. A howling wind shaking a Santa wreath. You're like, there is Christmas magic afoot. Because I think that he magically was like he made his parents forget about him. Mm-hmm. Like that weird child who was going to Florida, like appeared out of the will of magic, mm-hmm. so he could be left alone.
Yeah, like Santa made the coincidences happen properly.
And then when he's like, I wish that my family would be back, when he makes the Christmas wish to this creepy Santa. Again, I do not like child-adult interactions in this movie, but he's like, I just like wish that my parents come back, and then they come back the next day. So is magic involved? I think yes.
That does make sense, based on, like, the Christmas wreath swaying in the wind.
the wind, the howling Christmas magic wind.
Not so much, like, his wishes being granted, but more, like, the Christmas spirit of being taught a lesson.
Yes.
So it's, like, not like he, in my opinion, he doesn't, like, wish his parents back. It's just sort of, like, the fact that they forget about him could be acted upon by magic to teach him the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, so dare I say Santa is proven real by this movie, and his magical powers.
Perhaps. I do love when he's like, don't worry, like, to the Santa in this car. He's like, don't worry, I know the deal. And the Santa's like, okay. And he's like, you're not Santa, but you work for him.
I will say,
that's cute.
He's great. He's great in this movie. He's adorable.
I didn't realize that the, like, screaming face is, like, aftershave that hurts, which I didn't know.
Yes, and why does he keep doing
it? Why does he keep doing it? Because I think it's part of, he's just like, I am now an adult, and this is what adults do, and this is my cross to bear.
That is one of the most shocking moments of this movie, is how many things he manages to accomplish. Like, yes.
Goes shopping, steals a toothbrush, takes a shower by
himself. That 8-year-old kid is doing better than I am currently.
Yes.
Like, he's doing laundry.
Opening scene, the opening scene, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And
too many kids. Why are they all there? Why are they all in the same
house? I will say it was really funny when the cop was like, are your parents home? And she goes, yeah, but they don't live here. It's just like amazing.
Also, again, you're back to your question. They're small time fucking burglars. Why are they casing the house that extremely where they're impersonating a cop
and like inside the house and like really making their face known like that? I don't know. Oh, yeah. But when he's like, can somebody help me pack my suitcase? Like, I get it that he's like a kid and things are hard. But like, if my mom were just like, pack a suitcase, I would just put like a toothbrush and a Game Boy in a bag and be like, I did it. Like,
I would do it. What 8-year-old is? Yeah.
But I would never be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I would just be like, okay, I guess I need pajamas and a comb.
That's the thing. It's like when you're like, when you were 8 and you're like, dress yourself for the day. And you're like, hell yeah, yeah. Here's everything that does not match. And I'm putting them all on together. Like,
you would do it wrong, but you would do it.
You would do it. But what parent would be like, you know, we're going to France for an extended period of time?
Yeah.
You, child, pack your own. But I was thinking, this does seem like the situation of where they've had too many kids, so the kids just take care of themselves, because they do throw poor Heather, the oldest child, under the bus, being like, you're the one that fucked up because you miscounted the children. This is on you.
Yeah. And the fact that she's in charge of, like, making sure all the children, like, get into the car. Yeah.
And she's so much older than everyone else.
Is she Brooke Shields? So much older. I literally thought she was Brooke Shields.
She's not, but has Brooke Shields vibes.
Yes. And then the whole horrible... First of all, I wanted revenge for Uncle Frank. He's just a dick the whole movie. And...
Yes, he is an asshole. He's terrible.
Calls an 8-year-old a jerk. Like, come on. Like, somebody should have, like, looked at him and been like, actually, you're the adult here. Like, you're in trouble. But...
Yeah.
I did, like... At first, I was, like, a little cynical, and I was like, okay, you're throwing a tantrum over your pizza. Like, get over it, Kevin. Like, clearly everything is hard. But then I was like, if I were 8 years old, and I was a picky eater when I was 8, and if I ordered a cheese pizza, and I only would eat cheese pizza, and then I felt like on purpose everybody ate the cheese pizza, I'd probably lose it.
I would lose it now. I would fully lose it now. Like, that has nothing to do with age. I'd be like, how fucking dare you? You eat my cheese pizza? Again, I'm not a cheese pizza fan. I'm obviously a sausage and onion pizza fan. Obviously. Okay. Yeah. Other question. The whole pizza situation baffled me. When he is using, well, I will say, a bit ingenious, yes, using the movie to very violently accept pizza. But here's my main question. How did he call for the pizza originally?
The phone,
because he's trying to hide his voice. Yeah. Wait, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about the fact that the phones were dead. It makes even less sense now.
That bothered me because he calls the police from his house at some point, right? And calls them to a different house where he's going to lure the victims, right?
Yes. And he fakes his voice. The victims, because he is going to murder them.
And he fakes his voice and he's like, I'm at 656. Like, my name's Murphy. So I feel like he just faked his voice on the phone. But I don't. So at that point, I got mad because I was like, the phones are supposed to be down. Like, wouldn't his mom call him if the phones were back? But then I was also like, she's on a debatably 15-hour road trip from Scranton to Chicago. So she doesn't have access to a phone. So that makes sense. But, like, I feel like you would, you know. So at the end, I'm sort of like, okay, I guess the phone lines got fixed during this time period. But, like, you'd think the dad would, like, call pretty periodically from France and be like, just checking, are they still down?
Yeah.
And he would know if the phone lines came back on. So anyway, how did he call for the pizza?
I'm deeply upset now because I was like, oh, why did he not just like change his voice when he was picking up the pizza? Like, why is it making the call fine, but not that? But now I'm like, he shouldn't have been able to call. This ruins the entire movie. It's a giant plot hole.
Maybe they just sort of like called for a day and then figured the phones were down and stopped calling and then just sort of focused on getting on a plane.
No, that was lazy writing. That's my take. They've messed it up.
Also, why is there an issue with a kid picking up pizza? Like, if someone orders pizza and then there's a child that picks it up and has $11 for you, you just go, okay, bye. Like, you don't.
No one's gonna give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I guess then they at the beginning, the kids are answering doors, like, for policemen and, like, telling them to essentially fuck off. And no problems there. But God forbid you order a pizza to your own home.
Yeah. And also, like, guess he would be like nervous that they would like find out that he's there, but also like he believes his family is gone forever.
So, like, yes, he does believe that. So
you have to sort of confront your neighborhood with the fact that you now live alone here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
My God. The other other thing, plot hole. You're telling me this house has like 15 motherfuckers in there. Not a single one of them is a morning person. Not a single one
was up before 8 a.m.
The alarms, like. Insane.
Yeah, although they are majority children.
true. There's a lot of kids. I will say, though, that's my biggest problem in this movie, is it really has some strange takes on travel and how it works, and it made me very upset. Mm-hmm. The very first one is when Joe Pesci is pretending to be the policeman and like, oh, when are you guys leaving? And they say, we hope to leave in the morning. What do you mean, hope? Do you have your tickets? Yeah. Is it, like, up for debate? I don't understand. They also say that they are 45 minutes. The flight, it takes off in 45 minutes as they're walking out their front door. They have missed the flight.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know how close you're done. To O'Hare, but, like, yeah.
It does not matter how close you are. You were not.
Maybe the flight was delayed.
I don't know. Also, they get there. Door is closed. And she's like, oh, don't worry, you guys just made it in time. And I was like, ma'am, the doors have closed to the plane.
Also, like, okay, I guess they've already had their passports. I'm literally like, the woman does not check anything. She's just given a bundle of tickets, and she's like, go, go, go.
I will say this is pre-9/11, so I do just assume that it was a free-for-all on planes, that you could just do anything you wanted.
I mean, it's literally still delusional to me that Southwest is a free-for-all in terms of seating. You're just sort of like, go for it.
Yeah.
Delusional.
It is a little insane. Didn't they say that in the thing? They're like, take any available like seat and coach or something?
Something like that, where they were like, the seats are single seats and coach.
Yeah, like just grab a seat.
So maybe that means they only have like, I don't know. Anyway.
I will say anytime there's like is that Southwest that does that? I think it is. So yeah. They're like, no assigned seating, go for it.
But they
no.
give you like boarding groups, and I think you can pay for a better boarding group.
I don't care. It's like the same way that now I'm like all for the fact that theaters, you pick out a seat before you go. I'm like, this is civilized society. I do not want a free-for-all.
I think I disagree with the movie theater thing. Definitely the plane thing, just because like that can be really make or break. And you're already paying.
Do you want a free-for-all theater?
Yes. Just sort of like, you walk in and you, you know, assess the scene and you get there early enough
but
to get
then
a good
you
seat.
Have to get there early.
I think
like
that's
now
sort
you can
of like
roll
human nature
up.
Is first come first serve. Now it's like, okay, first one to know they were gonna have this plan is served. Like, I have respect
for
people who like go to the theater early to get a good seat. So I just like
I
the spontaneity
respect
of like
that.
Showing up and being like, ooh, maybe we'll have this in the back. Like, I don't know.
It is true. It does have a certain nostalgia, but I much prefer not having to get there early.
That's fine. That's understandable. Also, I...
Thank you.
Talking about convenience culture, because that's an element of coming out culture. Literally having to put, like, having to shop on Instacart today, I was like, I can't food shop unless I'm, like, in front of the food. And it's, like, categorized in the way that makes sense.
Yeah.
Literally just, like, looking at a thing that's just, like, frozen fish and meat. Snacks. I was like,
like I can't like stick my face up against like the fucking glass and be like, what shitty lean cuisine do I want
literally
to put in my body this week?
Also, then you're sort of like calculating. You're like, what meals am I shopping for? Do I need dinners? Do I need breakfasts? Like, how many days am I talking?
Yeah.
Like, it's all very crazy.
Anyway. Yeah.
Back to Home Alone.
Back to Home Alone and the questions I have.
Oh, the biggest question, of course, is how does he fucking clean the house? Like, he puts
no
tar
idea
on the steps of his basement. Like, there's no coming back from that. Also, like, he is maiming these people, like, very seriously. He, like,
oh, they should be
literally
dead.
Torches his head.
They're
he
dead.
Cuts, when he cuts the rope, I was like, oh, he's not gonna cut the rope. He's just gonna, like, taunt them. Cuts it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They just hit him.
No, that kid is a murderer. Like, they're not going to make it.
I do.
The other thing, though, is they do kind of deserve it. Other question I had. So they are both slipping and sliding down those fucking stairs, up the stairs. There is, they pull out for like a wide shot of Joe Pesci like slipping on the stairs. Across, like there is grass, a small grass slope next to the stairs.
Yeah.
Walk up the grass slope.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Think at all.
But then again, it's comedy for children, so,
And at some point, I'm like, he's trying to kill these people, but I'm also like, they do keep saying, I want to kill him, so... And he's
that's my main question at the end. So when this all starts to go wrong, why are they not like, we're out,
yeah,
we're done, this
literally
did not work?
Like, at some point, it's just like, the rage overtakes him, but it's like, you're gonna go to prison.
Truly a haunting line when they do catch him and they're like, I'm gonna do what he did to us. Terrifying. Truly terrifying. When he's like, I'm gonna burn his head. Like, you know when
oh,
they catch
yeah.
Kevin towards the end, right before neighbor comes
yeah,
in
like,
and beats them with a shovel.
Yeah.
So they are
so he lives
they're dead.
South Strangler or whatever he was.
Yeah. I don't know why they just didn't be like, we tried. Again, oh, I don't understand. There's many other houses. And don't trust
and,
a cop.
Yeah.
That it doesn't show a badge, I guess.
But
I will say that the funniest, I did not laugh a ton in this movie because I'm dead inside, I guess.
Funny.
It wasn't funny. Thank you. I will say, there is one moment that made me laugh, and it is when the polka player is telling the story of leaving his child in a funeral parlor with the dead body, and is like, he started talking after 6 to 7 weeks, and I was like, that is true comedy, incredible, brilliant, amazing.
The whole, like, polka car situation was very funny to me, and the fact that we basically get, like, 2 30-second clips the whole time the mom is, like, on this horrible journey.
The best part is that
like
they get
truck.
Home at the same time.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole thing, is that she's like, I flew. I'm also like, I guess she's doing what she can. I'm like, why did you fly to Dallas? Like, just don't
like,
fly
she made
to
poor
Dallas.
Choices.
She flew from France to Dallas to Scranton.
I also was like, they've lost so much money on this trip.
Yeah. Well, they're rich. And
they are, you're right. They actually are insanely
so,
rich. Yeah.
I guess. You kind of do what you gotta do. Yeah, like, what would that be like, truly? You're, like, in a different country. You cannot reach your 8-year-old child. You know that he's home alone. And you're sort of, like, literally, like, the, whatever, 90s were a crazy time. Like, thinking about the fact that, like, a phone line can be down and you simply cannot contact your child. I'm, like,
except for maybe to order pizza.
Foreign to me.
Because it's fucking bullshit. Like,
just, I know, we've lost so much mystery in our lives.
We really have. Also, it's really hard to write movies now, I assume, because you cannot have those situations where you're like, no phones. Sucks.
There are no, like, zany plot confusion things that you can write anymore. Because it's just like, oh, if this happened, I would just text somebody.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And solve it.
Less, but I am watching The Witcher, which is fun in the sense that there is a creepy woman who is climbing on the ceiling, which is one of my favorite tropes of all time.
Dune vibes.
I love an... Dune vibes. I'm a simple woman. I love seeing people crawl on the ceiling.
I'm a simple woman. I love when possessed people crawl on the ceiling. I love a man with a hobby. And I love delivery.
I should
delivery.
Actually change my Hinge bio to I'm a simple woman. I love a man with a hobby. A possessed woman and or man and or any gender climbing on the
stage
ceiling.
Stage performance in an early 2000s. It's the simple things.
And someone confessing their feelings on a stage.
On a stage. Mm-hmm.
It's truly essential.
Would you kill yourself if someone was close to you? I would kill myself.
Oh, on a stage?
At all. Ever.
Oh, at all.
Somebody ever were like, you know what Charlotte wants? She wants me to be on my knee in front of her. I'd be like, you have a huge miscommunication here.
I don't want anyone
okay if
on
you
their
do.
Knees.
I'm sorry for shaming weddings.
No. I don't. I would be deeply uncomfortable. I would not know what to do.
I think
it would be nice to have someone be like, oh, I want to spend the rest of their lives with me, I guess could be cool, but the idea of that happening by someone getting down on one knee and opening up a small box with a ring that I don't know is coming,
I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. I would kill myself.
I'd much rather have someone be like, so we're gonna get engaged, you're like, cool,
yeah,
let me pick out the ring, let me do that, and then we can go out for a nice dinner.
I've always been
and
a
call
fan
it a day.
Of the Sweet Home Alabama. Like, he takes her secretly into a huge Tiffany's showroom.
Ah, okay. And you're like, perfect. That's
like,
exactly
cool.
What I want.
It's just so cringe that, like, because obviously it's cringe to be surprised with a marriage proposal, to literally never discuss getting married and then have somebody be like, that's insane.
If it was a full surprise, I would projectile vomit.
They're like, I didn't ask you, but I did ask your dad. You'd be like,
if a man ever went to my father and was like, could I marry? I should maybe talk to my father about that if I ever choose to date someone. To be like, if that happens, be like, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Here's the thing. Any final thoughts?
I just looked at my sad cat. My final thoughts.
My final thought is, why does their doorknob have a huge M on it? That's wealth.
I did not notice. It's probably from McAllister. Oh, because McAllister.
I know, but like...
And they're so rich that they were like, we need that on our door.
Yeah. Also, I love that he's like sleeps in his parents' bed. Like, obviously you would do that. If your whole family disappeared, you'd be like, where's the best bed in the house?
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
sleeping in my room anymore.
Man, fuck that. Because they also sent him up to the attic, right?
Yeah, and I like... they intend for him to sleep up there? Like, I don't know.
It was odd. But, you know, cute, zany, I get why people like this movie.
Yeah, it's fun. So. It's really fun. If I had seen it as a youngster, I'd probably like to rewatch it every year, a la Elf. I love Elf.
Mm-hmm.